a little thing I call chaos. It's the news, according to me. Well, it's just ramping up. The chaos is here, folks. It's Tuesday, July 9th, 8:04 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Oh, my. The stuff that's happening in my cup. I have vanilla chai latte with Cinnabon creamer in it this morning. And every drop is going to be needed with what everything is going on in this world. I have a backup cup of sweet tea, of course. Homemade, perfectly brewed, perfectly seasoned. With the right amount of sugar. Yeah, good stuff. I have a... Boy, there are some things to get into here this morning. A lot of things I want to share, just the things that have been on my head, running around in my head this morning. Probably won't remember any of them as I go to speak here. But boy, there's some stuff happening. Apparently, Joe, there's this whole thing with a doctor. Dr. Kennard, I think is the guy's name, which is a little bit interesting. And that gets even creepier and weirder the more you dig into that story. I don't know. Where do we begin with this stuff? First of all, Joe is digging in. Let's just talk about that. He is out there. His big campaign now is just to be the sassy man telling everybody to shut up, and he's going to run, and he's the choice, and that's all there is to it. Love it or leave it. Nobody likes it. But he's running anyway. Not giving up. This is a very typical. Now, look, I've had immediate family members who've gone through the whole Alzheimer's dementia thing. More Alzheimer's than dementia. There was no Parkinson's involved. I've known people very close to me with Parkinson's issues. They're two very different things. Both of them are very horrible ways to die. They're both very difficult to live with. I mean, in terms of for the person experiencing it and for those around them. Both, it's not good. It's not a good experience. And right now we have when you have a combination of Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, Parkinson's is just, it's just a very different thing. But when you have both, even a mildly stepping into both, it exacerbates the problem. It magnifies the issue. You might be on a scale of 1 to 10 with Parkinson's. You might be on a 1, and you're just beginning the first early stages of Alzheimer's, and it's like it makes it 10 times worse. There's a lot of things about Parkinson's that they still don't understand, but there's one of the things that happens typically with a person is they have these emotional issues. Now, you can take all kinds of medications to tamper out some of this stuff, but you'll have extreme anger followed by the next thing you know, you're weeping for no reason. Joe was recently on the Morning Joe show, which is Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough. Joe Scarborough is the F you if you can't handle the truth. This is the best version of Biden there's ever been. He's cogent. I should, everybody's playing this thing. You can find it out there all you want to. Just look up Joe Scarborough. Stands up for Joe. Well, they had Mr. Biden, the president, current president, supposedly, on their show. And I had heard some of the audio of this, and it wasn't that intriguing. But when I saw the video of this, it was a whole different story. You have Mika sitting there with this cute little smile on her face, like, oh, we have Joe on here. Oh, he's being so sassy. Oh, he's being so, oh, this is so exciting. Oh, and he even told a little joke about us. Oh, it's just, oh, it's so sweet. This little look on her face as if her, like a mother whose child can do no wrong and they're up there doing something that's very embarrassing and they're just smiling the whole time because they're so proud of them. I'm going to play the audio. It's just all the audio that Joe, there's no audio of them. Joe doesn't have that kind of look on his face. Joe has this kind of concerned, worried look on his face, like, hopefully this guy doesn't say anything stupid. And then he kind of looks like, you know, you better kind of redeem me here because I came out and stood up for you. And now here's the problem with this whole thing with the debate. This, all of a sudden, Joe has one bad night. No, Joe, you've had a bad nights for the last 2 years. And more. If you remember going into his presidency, even after he got elected, supposedly, I was saying he wasn't going to make it a year. Now, they have some fantastic drugs, apparently, that got him through all this stuff. But this guy's mental situation has just gone off the rails. They've been denying it for so long, and now they can't admit to themselves that they were in denial. So they're in denial about their own denial. And all of a sudden, when he's up there with this contrast of Donald Trump, the man who still speaks the way he did 4 years ago, and Joe Biden, who just in the last six years, has just gone, further and further down the tube. And all of a sudden, oh my goodness. Oh, well, he just had a bad night. No, you've been missing it. It was just the comparison, the contrast. Now, all of a sudden, it's very obvious. When he's not sitting there reading a teleprompter or has the questions in front of him before, 2 days beforehand, or that they don't. And there's the other thing that we just found out with this one interview he had with some lady on some radio show. They gave her the questions to ask. And then they got mad at her for picking the questions that she did because he went stammering off into some other direction and she didn't know what to do with that. So she just let it lie. She didn't correct any. They're mad at her now. And she says, "Well, I just asked the questions they gave me to ask." She had to pick from like 10, they gave her like 10 questions and she had to pick 4 of them from there, whatever it was. Well, that's very telling right there in and of itself. You have to stay within these guidelines because, democracy. Protecting a democracy here, so you have to stay within these guidelines so we don't get too much information out there and be transparent. Can't let you just ask anything. And Donald Trump doesn't do that. Donald Trump sits down, ask whatever you want. Most politicians are that way, but not this administration and not the Democrat Party right now. I've asked this question before. Do the fascists know they are fascists? Typically not. They're the ones who are accusing everybody else of being a fascist, so they're pushing their agenda by calling everybody else a fascist and a Nazi and a racist. Just, statements that you just throw out there to shut somebody down. So we have Joe Biden. Let's just play this thing. Now, one of the things that it's just, I've always said, I think I'm more of a morning person. Don't get me wrong. I like just laying in bed in the morning, doing nothing. I like to have breakfast brought to me. That doesn't happen for probably 15 years. But it's one of those things where you just, you know, I don't mind, you know, just being a slug in the morning. That's fine. I enjoy that. But if I had to, and I've always kind of been able to burn the candle at both ends. I don't mind staying up late. But the older I get, the less I enjoy that. Just, you know, I'm just ready for bed. Now, the other side of that is, I've noticed that when I have to perform, when I have to do a test, when I have to do something where that requires a great deal of stress and when I'm going through retraining or whatever, what I'm going through in the past, I've always liked doing that more in the early morning. I've always done better in the early morning. For one, it just seems like the world is just a quieter place, for one thing, and I can focus better. Not a lot of stuff has happened already, you know, that part of the day. The other side of it is, I might be tired, I might even be sleepy, but I'm waking up. I'm getting better as the day goes. I'm not getting more tired. I'm getting less. I'm waking up to what is in front of me. At night, if I'm not performing well, I'm just getting more tired. I'm not getting better. I'm not waking up. I'm getting more fatigued. And I don't like that. I don't like the fact that I'm getting more and more stressed and more fatigued. And it just, I don't do as well. Joe Biden is in the sunset of his life. He's not getting better. He's not pulling through with this and going to pop out of here and act like an 18-year-old next month. This is going to be worse and worse as time goes on. Let's listen to his, you know, his family is the one pushing this. It's Jill and of course, Hunter, who is, you talk about somebody who wants to stay in the race to protect themselves. Now, the concern is that once Joe steps out of office, Hunter's, they have no power anymore. This is everything he's built his life on. His whole business has not been on anything he's able to do. It's all selling access. And if there's access to nothing, you lose that power. You lose, everything's gone. We'll talk more about some of the stuff that's going on with this Dr. Kennard and all this other stuff here in just a minute. I don't think that's his real name, but was going with this. I want to play this clip, and it's very telling. Let's see if I can pull it up here without making a whole lot of extra noise. Because it is very, so I have to be able to do that, and I pull it back over here, and I'm going to do this, and I'll do that. Okay, here. Now, I'm going to play this, and hopefully this, see how this works. All right, here we go. This is Joe Biden. Hopefully the dogs in the background aren't bothering you too much. Got a dog that's has issues and he's just barking a lot. Here we go. This is Joe Biden on Morning Joe, and this is some of the things he said. And listen to his attitude. If this was your grandpa talking to you, this is supposed to be, you know, nice Joe. This is supposed to be, you know, Mr. Tolerant. Have you ever heard Donald Trump talk like this? This is really ridiculous, but let's go on with this. Let's see what he has to say here.
The American public is not going to move away from me as the average voter. And again, I'm here for two reasons, pal. One, to rebuild the economy for hardworking middle-class people, give everybody a shot. Just a straight shot. Everybody gets a fair chance, number one. Number two, remember all this talk about how I don't have the black support? Come on, give me a break. Come with me. Watch. I'm getting so frustrated by the elite. Now, I'm not talking about you guys, but about the elite in the party, who they know so much more. But if any of these guys don't think I should run against me, go ahead, announce the president. Challenge me at the convention.
Now, he says a lot of things there that I think need to be interpreted. No, he was. He had this recently. He had this thing where he was talking on some radio show or somebody's show, and he was talking about how he was the first black vice president, female vice president. That's not what he said. That might be what he said, but that's not what he meant. Now, some of the stuff, and this kind of drives me nuts when people draw conclusions that or say things, put words in people's mouths, and I don't like it when they do it to Donald Trump. I don't like it when they do it to Joe Biden. You have to back up and say, okay, this is what he meant to say. He was the first one that put in. Now, this is some of his accomplishments, you realize. He's talking about his accomplishments here. And he's saying, well, we put in the first female black vice president. And we also put in the first female black Supreme Court justice. There's, you know, we've accomplished so many things. That's not accomplishing anything. When you base your accomplishments on skin color or gender, look what we've done. That's nothing. This is a social issue that does not affect anyone's life. What are you talking about? Look at everything we've done. This is the United States of America. This is just a weird statement to make. Now, and he's mumbling and bambling on with this speech he's giving them. What he's really saying is, you know, he didn't articulate it because he can't finish a sentence. He just gets halfway into it. He goes on to the next sentence. That has a lot to do with the drugs he's on, actually. So it gets partially into the sentence about something about, and what he meant to say was, well, run against me. And then he says, the very first thing he says out of the box is this whole thing about the average voter. That sentence didn't make any sense unless you back up and say, okay, I think he's trying to say this. Let's listen to it. Let's just go back here and listen to this thing because it's very telling.
The American public is not going to move away from me as the average voter. And again,
the American public is not going to move away from me as the average voter. The American public is not going to move away from me as the average voter. I don't even know what that means. I think what he's saying is the average person out there, the average American voter, is not going to move away from him. I think that's what he's trying to say. Now, the problem is he's apparently numb or blind to what's going on in the polls right now. The Democrat Party is going down in flames with this. Now, everybody says this is going to be the end of the Democrat Party. No, it's not. It's not the end of the Democrat Party. It is, they still control the media. They will still spin everything that they do. They still have the game going on. They still have all their machinery in place. This may be very difficult for them for a while. And they may lose this election. So, we'll see. But of course, that'll be the end of the world for them. Again, we'll just hear nothing but for 4 years about how, and they'll blame the Russians. They'll blame something. They'll blame someone else. It's not. In 2016, they had one of the worst candidates ever. Nobody showed up to vote for Hillary Clinton. Nobody was excited about voting for Hillary Clinton. And they convinced us so much that she was going to win that nobody really thought anything of it. They just whatever. Everybody wanted to be the one who could say I voted for the first black president. Everybody wanted to do that. That was the whole white guilt thing that they put everybody under. I voted for a black president, so therefore I'm not a racist anymore. I'm not racist, but I voted for Barack Obama. They're proud of that fact. I voted for him. I don't care what kind of policies he had. I don't care anything about his politics. I voted for him. A lot of people didn't vote for him the second time. The state of Indiana turned blue for Barack Obama. And I really thought in the weeks after the election, I thought there was going to be this new attitude among certain cultural people and that they were going to have this moment of joy, this kind of, you know, we've overcome as a group. The highest pinnacle of leadership in our land. But no, that was not the case. That was not the case at all. In fact, in some areas, in some statements that I was hearing online, was, we're going to have our day now. We're going to get you. We're going to come back and get you now. We're going to stick it to you now because you're white. We got a white man on the run now. That was the attitude that came across in many, many situations I was in. What in the world? I mean, okay, so turnabout is fair play now, I guess, or whatever you want to call it. What do you, tit for tat, whatever you want to, you know, good for the goose, good for the gander. Where does that end? And this is one of the things that I think I want to conclude with here in the next 40 minutes. How does this end up looking in the end? I had to type something out there for a second, sorry. How does this end up looking in the end? How does it end? What brings us together? And who's going to be that voice that brings us together? What is it going to be that happens at the end of the day when all this is done? When all the racial divide that's been going on, I have contended for years and years that it's going to take the black man, the black community, the black culture is going to need to forgive. That's the only way around this. Forgiveness is the only way around this. And don't tell me that the white man hasn't bowed the knee and asked for forgiveness and apologized over and over and over again. Reparations is not going to solve the racial divide in our country. When you're forcing people who had nothing to do with slavery to pay for something to people who've never been enslaved, how does that work? Everybody wants a free ride. Let me back up for just a couple seconds here. There's one other topic I want to touch on about Joe Biden. First of all, I'm astonished that he's hunkering in. I still don't think he's going to be on the ticket in November. I think we have not begun to see the kind of chaos that's going to happen in the Democrat Party. They are freaking out. And the powers that be behind the scenes are doing everything they can to remove him now. I think they will remove him from office. I think he has two routes here that he can go down. One, he can bow out of the race, remain as president until January 20th. Or he can try to stay in, and fight the Democrat Party itself, lose the election, and then, of course, the Democrats have to do whatever they can to destroy Donald Trump in the meantime. Then there is this other issue. Joe could step out of the race or be forced out of the race. And then you're going to see all kinds of vengeance, division, chaos within the Democrat Party, because you've got all these people who are in the administration now who are going to lose their jobs. There's going to be all kinds of negotiations going on behind the scenes, people trying to get from one camp to the other. They're losing their power, they're losing their influence, their access, their positions. And there's the money flow from other countries. There's the money flow from all these things that are. And here's where some of this goes now, folks. There's two things that have come up. One of the things I saw this morning, for instance, this is just an example. Dr. Phil, who's not really a psychologist at all, but Dr. Phil has this. He was on Joe Rogan and he was talking about the border and the issues going on the border. He said that he made it very clear. He was interviewing this guy that was one of the head people. Like I see, he is the head border guard. On the southern border. And he was talking about how this isn't Mayorkas, this is actual border guard. He said that what's happening is they used to have a rapid DNA test when people would come across the border with kids. They would find out whether or not they were their family members or not. If they weren't related, you're not family, you're not coming across the border with this child, we're sending you back. The rapid DNA tests were done away with under this administration immediately. So what happens is these people come across the border with these kids, or these kids come across the border by themselves, and they have a phone number or an address or something written down on their arm. And security officers, they look at this address, they make the phone call. This child here, are you expecting them? Yes, we're expecting that child. That's who we're expecting, yes. They put them on a plane. They don't make the people come and pick them up. Well, your child is here, come and pick them up. Any place, pretty much anywhere in the world, they're not going to deliver the child to you. If my child got lost in a mall, oh, well, we're going to bring the child to you. No, you have to come get your child. They're sending them to these people, putting them on a plane, putting them on a bus, whatever they're doing, which is, again, a whole other issue. Getting them to these people, they have no idea what's happening to these people. Now, many of these people are working in, many of these kids are working in sweatshops. Many of the kids are working in the sex trade. And we are knowingly funding all of this and making it happen on our taxpayer dollars. And it's all of a sudden being allowed and basically instituted. I always say follow the money. Why all of a sudden is this changed? Joe Rogan asked the question, why'd they take away that thing all of a sudden? Follow the money. I have very deep suspicions about Alejandro Mayorkas. I believe the man is a pervert, first of all. Let's put it that way. And in the midst of all this, there's money under the table coming from somewhere. Very powerful people making a lot of money have a lot of influence in this whole process. And unfortunately, the Republicans and the Democrats have a tendency to dip their toe in where it doesn't belong. Democrats have a tendency to be in up over their shoulders in this kind of activity. And I'm convinced that there's reasons for this kind of influx of kids. That has a lot more to do with cash under the table, paying people off. But I can't prove any of that. This is my suspicion. I just, knowing how the machine typically works and knowing how things go, this is the way the machine works in Washington. I would not be surprised one bit if that's what's happening. That's my high suspicion. I'm 65% sure, 67%, maybe 67.5, 67.3. It's absolutely disgusting. So we have that going on. Now, this issue with the doctor, for example, Joe Biden has apparently seen a neurologist or some other doctor, some Dr. Kennard, several times. Now, according to Jean-Claude Pierre, Jean Carol Pierre, whatever her name is, she accidentally let it slip that he's seen a neurologist three times over the course of the 4 years. Now that's not what's happening. There's been a whole lot more visits that have totaled up into the hours of time spent with this doctor. Strangely, this doctor deposited, this is according to, is it Massey who went after this? I think it was Massey or one of the Congressional Oversight Committee people who are looking into some of this stuff. Discovered that $200,000 was deposited into Joe Biden's account from this doctor. When they were looking into things and into the impeachment probe, they remember this doctor had some doctor had deposited $200,000 into his account. Couldn't figure out where it came from or why. Well, now they want to know exactly what was going on. What kind of consultation was this doctor giving that he ended up owing Joe Biden money? Was it a loan? He's paying back a loan. Boy, Joe just loans out all kinds of money all the time. It's like Joe's bank. Everybody just pays me back all the money they owe me. How are you loaning them this money? And what kind of contract? You just loan money to people without any contracts or without any paperwork? It doesn't happen. On his salary? On a congressman's salary? That doesn't make any sense. Even a vice president's salary. People get rich somehow on a salary that most of us pay, if you're actually paying taxes on, would still barely getting by. You know, it feels like it anyway. So we have very interesting things happening here. And I think that this scandal, I think that the Democrats, they're going to unleash the floodgates. This is what I think is going to happen. The people who are opposed to Biden being in office, the people who are really upset about this whole thing, are going to start releasing information about Joe. They're going to stop with the patty cakes. They're going to the tedious part of this is he's still in power, and they're not sure who's going to be on top of this whole thing when it all comes down. What if Joe Biden wins re-election? And then they were known as the one who opposed Joe Biden. Now, of course, their career is done. Because the things they accuse Donald Trump of is actually the way they are. They are the mafia. They are the ones who crack down on someone who doesn't bend the knee and obey. Donald Trump's very transactional. He'll forgive you in a heartbeat if you can come up with a deal that works for you, for everybody. That's just the way he is. It's water off a duck's back. You could offend him one day, and the next day he'll come around and be your friend. Look at the campaign. Everybody who ran against him, and now they're on board. He's able to do that. He has some ability to disconnect from some of those things. That is not the way the Democrat Party works at all. You're either in or you're out. You're along with the agenda or you're not. Once you're out, you're out. It doesn't matter what you do, as long as you're along with the agenda. So, that's where we are, folks. This is where we're at. And it is a chaotic moment we're only going to see more chaos in the next there's a leading up to the August convention. We have another, rest of this month. I think we have basically 30 days. I think I'm not sure when the convention is. I think it's sometime in August. I think it's mid August. We're approaching mid July right now. So this is coming up pretty, very quickly. And of course, there's talk of having an open convention. Now, if something, befalls the current president, some kind of medical emergency, something happens to him between now and then. That would be a whole other scenario at that point. So we will just have to see. Of course, then we'll have we may end up having our first female black president. All the boxes have been checked. Well, of course, then we have to have a trans president. Because, you know, that's accomplishing something. When that becomes the goal, is just to get the D&I across the border, across the goalpost. That's not an accomplishment. They're running into this problem now with KJP, Karine Jean-Claude Pierre, because she's the first, whatever she is, I don't know how she identifies, whatever. She's historic. It's a historic moment. She talks like a petulant child. I mean, if you listen to anything she says, she fills up the time with repeating herself and constantly repeating herself and going, as she's blinking, all of her body language says, I have no idea what I'm saying. I think I'm lying. I'm not sure. I'm trying to come up with a story. I'm blinking. I'm looking down, trying to read, trying to find my notes. I'm trying to find my way. Every time she answers a question. She'll stand kind of sideways now. She doesn't stand face on with the press. She stands to her side. She doesn't want to be there. She's looking for a way out. She's trying to deflect. It is so obvious that she is way in over her head. She has no idea what she's doing. But she's the darling of the press because she's historic. And they can't let her go because how would that look? Now she did say some things that might end up getting her fired here because this whole thing she let slip with the I don't think she was supposed to tell anybody that he had seen a neurologist. But that's what she did. I think she's gonna be in trouble for that. She may step down. Most press secretaries do not last 4 years, by the way. Now you had Jen Psaki. Now here's Karine Jean-Claude Pierre. We'll see how this all works out. It's like I said, it's only going to get crazier and crazier. So in the meantime, as we press on, we will continue to pray for our nation, pray for each other, pray for our leaders. I don't believe God gets surprised by anything. I think he's fully aware of what's going on behind the scenes. He knows everything is being done in the closets, under the table. And I think all these things will be exposed eventually, whether it be in our lifetime or in eternity, we will definitely see all the stuff that was going on behind the scenes. So we press on, and we have hope. Folks, have a great rest of your day. I will be here tomorrow to talk to you. God bless. Good day.